We fall sometimes and let it all hang out with your side screaming experience and a speckle of a doubt. Feeling last.
Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN.
Plenty on your plate.
We're live in the Allstate Studio, 7th floor of the Trib Tower, here till 5 a.m. And that you hear is a band called Fletcher, and they will be appearing at Beat Kitchen this Saturday night as part of a concert benefiting Sharing Notes, which is a nonprofit that brings musicians to local hospitals. And we have a couple of members of the band with us this morning, and they're going to play live, and we want to say hello and welcome to the show to Oscar Baker.
Hello.
How are you, man?
I'm doing very well. How
good.
Are you?
Good. And we have Tom Fry.
How's it going?
All right, man. And then he's going to be playing with them tonight. Michael Green is a good friend of the guys, and he is going to be playing with them. Hello, Michael.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Well, welcome to the show, guys. Very, very cool. So, Oscar, let me ask you, your brother is also in the band.
Yes, he is in the band.
And how did you guys always play together?
No. Not really, not at all. This is the first project we've done together. I actually was in a two-piece band with my little brother.
How many siblings do you have?
Well, I've got two.
Oh, okay.
So she's a little brother. Yeah, so he'd be my medium.
And the one that's in the band now is your medium
brother.
He's
the medium brother.
Okay, all right.
But we were in a two-piece, and he was like 9 at the time. And
wow.
I was like 16, 17. We were doing some Battle of the Band stuff, so maybe might have made him a little jealous.
But yeah.
I haven't been in any other bands since my brother joined.
So there's three guys, three brothers, all musicians. Did you guys start playing at a young age?
Yeah. We all started, I mean, for me it started with piano lessons and absolutely hating them. And then I moved to saxophone, and then I got braces and introduced to the world of dentistry and how much it's painful.
I'm just picturing you studying dentistry. It sounds like I got introduced to the world of dentistry, and now I don't play music anymore.
This is my last.
I can fill a cavity for you this morning.
No, I'm the last person you see in medical school. So then I moved to guitar. I was playing guitar in a school band, and didn't really fit in that well. So then I thought, okay, I'm just going to do this on my own.
Yeah.
And that's how it's been the whole way.
Now, your brothers, your medium brother,
yeah,
who's in the band, Harvey, who's in the band with you, he's your bass player.
He is the bass player.
Now, does he play, is he a multi-instrument guy?
Yeah.
Is he into dentistry at all? No.
No, he's not. He's in filmmaking, actually.
Oh, cool.
Like, doing the multimedia for film and sound most.
Very cool.
Stuff. He wants to do all that kind of stuff.
So he plays bass in your band?
He plays bass, and he originally played guitar. I used to have guitar lessons. I used to be very jealous of that.
Because you were playing piano and he's playing guitar.
I wasn't playing piano. I was trying to teach myself guitar.
Okay.
And I could hear him getting lessons downstairs and be like, oh, he just got that G chord. I can't even figure out the G chord.
Yeah.
And I just refused for so long, and then eventually I just taught myself, and then...
That's the best way, man.
Yeah, because it just worked out better that way, and then it got to the point where I'm like, I know you can play guitar, but can you play bass instead?
Yeah.
After 8 years.
That always happens, man. That always happens. Bass players, you know, I don't know many bass players to go, yeah, man, I wanted to play the bass. That's not...
yeah.
I don't know that many bass players who go, yeah, man, when I grew up, I was like, man, I want to be that guy. Not the lead guitarist, not the front man. I want to be the guy that plays bass.
Yeah, he definitely kind of got put into the position,
of course,
like by default. Really.
Yeah. Now, Tom, how do you know the Baker brothers?
The Baker Bros.
Yeah.
Well, Oscar came to the school I was going to, Francis Parker, in 8th grade, and that's where we met. But we actually never played music while we were going to school together. We both were in different bands all the time, but
yeah.
We were just buddies in high school. And then we were both, I guess we decided to do the band after we both went off to college for a little bit. He came back and just kind of hit it off.
And now, Oscar, where are you from originally?
We're from London, England.
And you're from London. How long were you there?
We moved over in 2001, and mm-hmm. I was 9, and my brother was 5.
Did you move here to Chicago? Or
yeah, straight here.
Straight to Chicago?
So
oh.
I've been here. We've been here longer than we were when we were living in London.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I love it here. It's really cool.
Yeah, that's interesting to go straight from. Now, what brought was it? Your was your parents had to come here for work or something?
It was for work business. I mean, we were little kids. So yeah, we didn't really have a choice. I think it was like either here, Dallas, or Houston, or something like that.
You made the right choice.
I say that as a joke. Yeah,
no, where did you grow up? When you were a kid, when you moved here to Chicago, what part of Chicago did you live in? The suburbs? Or did you...
we lived in like the north suburbs, but I always went to school in the city. Mm-hmm. I was like very used to commuting back and forth. That's why when we started going on tour and stuff like that, I was already used to driving.
Yeah.
And being and like knowing when to be at places on time and like, you know, more than our tour manager.
Yeah.
At the time. I was kind of, you know, making sure we'd get, I'd be like, well, you know, it says it takes 7 hours, but let's leave to make sure we've got 8 hours.
Yeah.
You know?
All right. Okay. Well, everybody hang on. We just got to meet these guys and we're going to talk more. We're going to hear some live music. The band is Fletcher and we'll tell you all about their gig at Beat Kitchen this Saturday night. And, that's all coming up. So stay tuned. We'll hear some live music and talk more on 720 WGN.
Screaming stairs, it was all but never was real. And though you feel right, you're talking in tongues. Through conversation, you're the one that always ends up wrong.
Morning, everybody. Nick DeGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Allstate studio. How's it going? We are joined by the band that you just hear right there, a band called Fletcher, and they will be playing at Beat Kitchen this Saturday night. It's a concert benefiting Sharing Notes. We'll tell you a little bit about that, but we have the band here, and we're talking to them live in studio, and we've got Oscar Baker. Welcome back.
Hello, hello.
We've got Tom Fry. His Oscar's brother, Harvey, is also in the band. We also have Michael Green, who's going to be playing guitar with them this morning. And it's a longtime friend of these guys. You've played with them before. Welcome.
Hello again.
All right. All right, Oscar, let's talk a little bit about influences, you know, music that that influenced the way that Fletcher sounds. What bands and what music influences you and your brother and Tom?
At least for me, I think that's sometimes more of like an individual question.
Sure.
But like, you know, on behalf of the band, I think definitely, I mean, I'm a massive fan of like Arctic Monkeys, Foo Fighters are really good. You know, I could go a little further back to like, you know, like some classics like Led Zeppelin. You know, there's a lot of bands where I kind of look not necessarily just at the music that influenced us, but the mm-hmm. recording techniques and like their actual like guitar tones and stuff
mm-hmm.
and what they do with that. Like nowadays, a lot of stuff is like kind of done in post-production, like EQing a bunch of stuff like that. But, you know, when they were on 4 tracks, 8 tracks, like they didn't have any room to mess up like all those tones that like Jimmy Page came up with, you know, and stuff like that. Like that's just... That's him. No one's EQing that stuff.
No, it's unbelievable what they used to be able to do. I mean, the fact that they would record stuff on a 4-track, like the Beatles recorded a bunch of records on a 4-track, and you hear those albums now, and it sounds as good as anything that anybody's doing today. A lot of that has to do with George Martin being a genius. But
having billions of dollars behind
him. Yeah, but they were those, you know, I mean, there's something to be said about that. But in terms of, like, technology now, as you guys know, man, it's unbelievable. Anybody can record a record. Like, you can record a record in your bathroom. If you've got the right computer and the right tools, you can do that. And I think there's a great thing about that and a bad thing about that. But the great thing is that anybody can record something now, and it makes it easier, you know. And how do you guys feel about the way recording is done now? It's got to be fun for you, right?
I mean, we record a lot all the time in our studio when we're practicing, and that's kind of how we go off our own music. We just kind of jam and just listen back to the recording.
A lot of the songs come from just you guys just fooling around and jamming and stuff?
Pretty much most of the songs. Like, when we started out, Oscar had already had a couple ideas, but most of the time now, like, all of our songs is just one of us starts playing something and we have it recorded. And that's what we just go back and listen to it. If it really strikes us and if we think it can be something, that's basically, and we just go off that.
Tom, what did you grow up listening to? Do you have brothers and sisters?
I have a sister. Mm-hmm. I can't say we share the same musical taste, mm-hmm. but I grew up listening to, I mean, my dad was a huge fan of the Beatles. I'm actually not as big as a fan of the Beatles.
Oh, man.
I know. It sounds so bad, but, like, it's not, no, I, it's not that I don't.
You realize there's a couple of British guys in the band with you. You realize that, right?
Mostly, like, two-thirds, the majority. The majority of the band.
It's nothing. I didn't even want to tell Oscar that.
Oh, I wouldn't. I would have kept that to myself, man.
I've forgotten. You just brought that up, so now I'm going to stare at you.
The whole time.
The whole time.
So, okay, you weren't into the Beatles that much.
Well, no, but yeah, so I listened to that a lot, but it's not that I, you know, don't like
it. I know.
I wouldn't put them on right away. It doesn't matter, but it's like...
Man, you dug the hole and you keep digging right now. So, all right, just let's not talk about the Beatles anymore.
I listen to a lot of Ray Charles.
Oh, all right, well.
And a lot of... Yeah, all right. Listening to a lot of jazz and, like, Ray Charles, I listened to a lot, and then when I... got a little older, like middle school. I listened to like the tip. I got into, you know, like Linkin Park and like
man
and stuff like that.
Yeah,
but yeah, I would say once I reached high school because I started drumming a lot, like around.
Did you start with drums?
I started with drums. I always, since I was a kid, like a little kid, that's what I wanted to do. So as soon as I,
it's funny because I play drums and a lot of the people who play drums didn't start out with drums because their parents were like, no. You know, you're not.
Yeah. Fortunately, my parents were pretty, pretty supportive, but there are definitely points I think they questioned that.
Yeah. No. It's weird out. Because I've had a lot of people in here because when I played guitar. When I started playing, I took guitar lessons and all that stuff, and I suck at guitar. Suck.
Oh, I can't. Yeah.
Oh, but I played guitar for a while. My parents, you know, they got me lessons. I did recitals and all that stuff, and it never really clicked. But drums I liked, and then I just kind of learned on my own and. I haven't played drums in years because I live in an apartment, and if I played drums, somebody would knock on my door and go, "Get out!" So, but it usually is one of the cases. You're rare because it's usually like, okay, you know, when I was in school in band and I played horns, you know, and I did this, and then I went to drums because
I
wanted to.
I actually started through the school jazz band in fourth grade, but they didn't have any spots for the drummer, like any spots for drums left. Like it was taken, but
sure.
I was like, no, I'm not going to join unless if I can play the drums. So they let me do that.
So you had though. So what did you have, like 50 drummers in the band?
Yeah, like
we had like 4 or 5, which was pretty tough, especially when we had gigs because we had to like switch out every.
Yeah, that sucks, man.
I remember that.
But
watching,
trust me,
guys,
it fell out. A lot of drummers fell out.
Yeah. All right, but you kept with it.
I kept with it. I didn't keep with the jazz band. It wasn't that great, but I kept with the drums.
All right, cool. And so how many, Oscar? How many bands have you been in? You mentioned that your little brother, not your medium brother, but your little brother, and you had like a band going when you were kids.
Yeah.
But.
So I guess like my first official band was in high school when I was about 16, I think. We were called Cynic Blue. And
B-L-U-E?
B-L-U.
Oh, okay. Yes. All right. Okay.
No,
okay. I just wanted to make sure.
Yeah, we weren't that crazy. and then I moved to having that band with my little brother. And then I was kind of like just, I don't know. You know what it was? Is I was looking, I think after those things, I just spent a while, like even at school and stuff, I was looking for someone to play with. I would like always play with drummers. But just could never find the right mesh of people to make a band. It seemed like everyone literally did it immediately when I went to school.
Yeah.
And then, you know, when I decided to leave, I just called this guy up and he's like, yeah, I'll play with you.
That's cool.
So then we played together and then my brother was in the house and I was like, Harv, can you play this bass? And he's like, nope.
Was basically
I
like,
have no idea how to play bass, and I'm like,
you're in the band.
Yeah,
you're
like,
bass.
I'm like, we've got some songs, so can you just figure this out, like as if it was a guitar? But he loves it now. I mean, the guy loves playing.
Well, he also, you know, as a bass player, and you know this, you have to be close to your drummer. I mean, you guys are the deal. You're the rhythm section. So you guys, obviously, you and Harvey get along.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Since we've started the band, I would say I don't even really have to look at him at all.
That's
He's
important,
just, like, right
man. That's
there
good. That's very cool. Very, very cool. I don't know, man. I happen to really like Power Trios. I love. I just love, man, something about power trios that I really, really love. Not that I'm against anything else, you know, but there's just something about the stripped down sound of like guitar, bass, drums, vocals. I like that. I think that's pretty cool. So now you guys have been playing around Chicago for a while as Fletcher. Okay, let's talk about the name Fletcher. How did that come about? What's the story behind the name of the band?
It's Harvey, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it'd be a good question for Harvey to answer. he told me he was reading a book. I think it was Great Expectations,
mm-hmm.
and I haven't read the book, so I don't know. But apparently, someone comes across a Fletcherer, who's someone who makes arrows,
mm-hmm.
and then we're like, "Oh, Fletcher! Like that sounds pretty cool." Like. That's the only name that we don't hate, so which is what a lot of bands do, man.
No, it's true, man. Yeah. I ask whenever I have bands in here, I always ask about the name. They're like, and then usually they go, "Oh God, I don't know how we came up with the name."
You know, writing the songs is easier.
You know,
I mean, it's hard even when there's only three people in the band. But imagine there's like seven people in a band, and you're all trying to. You know, okay, we got to come up with a name. And it's just, like, I can't tell you the number of people who come in here before, yeah, listen, we drank a lot one night. And, you know, we were bombed, and we came up with this name. We're like, let's just keep it,
man. We all signed an agreement.
I'm tired of this, man. One of my favorite stories, though, is this. There's a band, a Chicago band called Armitage, and they've been on the show before. And they couldn't think of a name for their band. They had, like, really lame names. And they were like, oh, God, is it getting in? You know, the guys that were booking them were like, what's the name of your band? And they had, like, really stupid names for their bands. And they were trying to think of it. And one night, there's just, like, three of the guys. They're on the L. They're on the red line. And they're going down to Chinatown to grab some food. And they're just kind of sitting there. They're all upset. They can't think of a name of the band and all that. And all of a sudden, they hit the red line stop at Armitage. And they look and they go, what do you think of that? And they were like, yeah, fine. That's good. So they just named the band Armitage after the street in Chicago, which is, you know.
Yeah,
so
we didn't know there's a Fletcher Street, actually.
There is a Fletcher Street, yeah.
And we ended up recording that EP you have in your hands on the corner of Fletcher and Greenview.
Oh, that's cool. So it's kismet, man.
That's pretty crazy.
That's very cool. When you guys play, do people come up and go, where's Fletcher? Is there anybody, like, do they think you're, is anybody, somebody's name is Fletcher?
Oh.
Because it's a possibility.
I think they always thought, like, with the Red EP, I think they always thought it was just the dog.
They thought the dog's name was Fletcher.
Oh, you mean the band.
No, yeah. Like, in the band, like, if somebody saw your band.
Yeah, no, a lot of people think the dog's name is Fletcher.
The dog's name, well, I'm looking at the, and by the
Which
way,
is
this
kind
is.
Kind of a cool name for a dog.
It is a great name for a dog. I'm looking at your EP here, and it's your that's your dog on the cover.
It is. And it's the picture I took.
You took this picture?
I couldn't Photoshop him out of it. You got someone. Because that took a lot. Do you know how many hairs that dog has? That's a black lab.
Yeah.
Because obviously no one could see it. But
he's a beautiful dog.
Yeah.
And his name is Max.
He's like, he was about 11, I think. 10 or 11 when
you
took
that
photo. Now he's about 14.
Oh, and he's still vibrant and lively and running around? No, not so much.
He's kind of going to old man status. He's got like
slowly.
His little pills he takes and his food.
Sure.
You know, every once in a while.
You know, when there's something about when your pets get old, you know, and they can't move as fast, but they're still awesome. You know,
I mean, he'll live on forever.
Yeah.
He's on the front of an album.
He's on the Fletcher album, Max.
And old t-shirts that
that's right. All the merch that
all
you guys sell. We want to hear a song, okay? And after the song, we'll talk about your gig at Beat Kitchen, and we'll talk about sharing notes and all kinds of cool stuff. And we'll hear another song after 3 o'clock. You guys are hanging out for a little bit, okay?
Cool beans, sounds good.
All right, okay. We got Oscar, we got Tom, and on guitar guest here is Michael. Oscar, you care to tell us what we're about to hear? What song we're about to hear?
Yeah, so we're gonna play a song called "Reel It In." We're playing all acoustically.
And so you're not playing on this one?
No,
I am playing.
He's playing.
Oh, okay. Well, you want to get over there?
Drums. Yeah.
Get on over there, buddy.
Get on over there, Tom. Maybe sticks with you.
All right, and
it's a song off our latest record that came out last year. We're gearing up to record another one. So
okay, and it's called "Reel It In."
It's called "Reel It In."
All right, "Reel It In." Can you push that mic down a little bit right there, man? Okay. Whenever you guys are ready, it's good. It'll be good. That'll be good. All right. Whenever you're ready, this is Fletcher. You ready, man? All right.
reel it in and reel it out. Silly words come to and from your mouth. Searching for that perfect groove, sits between the brink of the ledge and you. With your words unspoken, you barely moving along. And the hardest thing is what you bring. No wonder you're wrong. Reeling it and get out of bed. Running with no plan. Wrapped up in crazy ways, wicked eyes gleaming through the haze. With your words unspoken, you barely moving along. And the hardest thing is what you bring. No wonder you're wrong. But I will run. Yes, we'll run till the day you'll be gone. I will run, yes, we'll run till the day you'll be gone. We didn't get out of bed. We're running with no plan. Wrapped up and rolling around like two kids in an empty playground. With your words unspoken, barely moving along. And the hardest thing is what you bring. No wonder we're wrong. So I will run, yes, we'll run till the day you'll be gone. I will run, yes, we'll run till the day you'll be gone. I will run and run till the day you'll be gone. I will run. No wonder we're wrong.
Nice, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. That's that was really great. That was really, really great, you guys. Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk more. That's the band Fletcher. They're playing this Saturday night at Beat Kitchen. That was great, guys. We'll take a quick break and we'll come back and talk more and hear some more live music right here on 720 WGN. Everybody, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And that's Fletcher, the band Fletcher. And we just heard a really terrific song from the guys. And we welcome Oscar Baker back. Hello, Oscar.
Hello.
Tom Fry.
Hello.
And Michael Green, who played guitar on the song. Nice job, sir. That was a great song, man. Really. Seriously. You got a really nice voice, man. Yeah. You're really, really... Got a great command of your vocals, and really just a really nice song all the way around. And you said that a lot of the songs come out of like you know, you guys playing and jamming and stuff like that. What about lyrics?
You just come after
the
right?
Or during. Well, yeah, what we usually do, because we do everything live. So I love creating melodies. If I hear a track that doesn't have a melody, then I'll hear one in my head like immediately. So like. Whenever we're jamming or like creating songs or recording or anything like that, like the PA is set up and everything, we've got all our instruments recorded, and I just start like singing a type of melody, and then but words come along with that. It's not usually like ooh, it's like
yeah,
I love this piece of cake, and it's the most amazing cake I've ever had. And it doesn't make any
That's
sense.
That's a hit single right there.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah, loving the cake.
loving the cake, ladies and gentlemen. You heard it here first.
Yeah, no, that's not a song. But, you know, like, it's like, because apparently Paul McCartney's, you know, yesterday, they used to be called, like, Eggs and
Eggs
bacon.
I can't remember. Yeah. Yeah.
Let's talk to Seuss, but, you know.
Yeah, but it is, no, you're right. It was called Scrambled Eggs, I think.
Scrambled Eggs, yeah, something like that.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, the writing process comes from saying the melody so many times, and then certain words start to repeat themselves. So then I'll take those words and be like, okay, you know, how can I apply this to like a situation or like where would it fit? And then you also have to take into account like the actual, you know, feeling the music is giving you, because you wouldn't like write, even if you have a melody, you wouldn't write so happy lyrics to like, you know, super,
sure.
You know, sad song.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Well, that last song was great, man. I mean, really, really nice.
There's the one in between. It's like sad and happy.
It sounded a little. It's a very melancholy song, kind of, really beautiful, really pretty.
Yeah, and, it's more intense on the album.
Yeah,
you know, I love that. We love playing this song acoustically.
It sounded great. It's really, really, really great. Well, tell me about the gig on Saturday. It's at the Beat Kitchen, which is a great room over on Belmont, near Racine, and just a great, great place. And you guys are going to be playing as part of a show that's benefiting Sharing Notes. And you were telling me that you guys, the room that you guys have, your studio that you have.
Yeah, Fort Knox Studios.
Fort Knox Studios, Sharing Notes was doing a thing there.
They were doing an event there, mm-hmm. Trying to get people on with them. And that's how we met them while we were at the studio, just practicing.
And they have been around for a while. And they help out, they play at hospitals, and they line up musicians with medical staff and families of people who are ill and things like that.
Yeah.
And, they have worked, it says here that, they've worked with over 3,000 people in, La Rabida, in other hospitals and things like that. And, so this is who else is on the bill with you guys on Saturday?
It's
just you guys.
Yeah, no. So, it's a special thing. You know, it's we rented out the Beat Kitchen, you know, for a certain amount of hours. So we just wanted to do like our own holiday show.
Uh-huh.
It's just us. We've got a DJ playing music, so it's not, you know, quiet, mm-hmm. when people walk in.
Mm-hmm.
But we have a charity there. We'll be auctioning off a couple things. I think we've got some like live face painting and like art that can be done and stuff like that. So it's like a cool little activity thing. You know?
So big, so like a big holiday party, big event, lots of really cool things, giving things away, and all that cool stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
All right,
yeah.
Well, sounds great. That's this Saturday. You guys hang out, okay? Cool. We got the news, awesome. And we come back. It's the news, and then we'll come back live with Fletcher. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN. By the way, all of the information for the event and the band Fletcher are on our Facebook page right now at facebook.com/NickDShow. We'll be right back. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Morning, everybody. It's Thursday morning. We're going to talk about some Christmas stuff a little bit later. The Hawks are playing the Edmonton Oilers tonight, so we have a Know Your Enemy, so we get to know the Oilers a little bit better so that when the Hawks beat them, we can feel good about it. That'll be coming up a little bit later on. Also, after 3:30, Pete Trabuco is going to join us. He's a travel specialist. He's the author of America's Top Roller Coasters and Amusement Parks. Tell you about some of the amusement parks that are actually open for the holidays. That music that you just heard is from the band Fletcher, and they're playing this Saturday night, December 19th, at Beat Kitchen. All kinds of cool stuff will be happening there. No face painting, however.
It's live painting.
There's going to be an artist there doing painting and all that stuff. And if you want the artist to paint your face, maybe he'll do that. But it's a benefit for Sharing Notes. All the information is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/NickDShow. And if they're going to play another song live, and if you guys want to check this out, if you missed the song, our podcast is going to be up later this morning, and you can check it out at WGNradio.com, or you can simply subscribe to our podcast, which tons of people do. You go to iTunes.com, Nick DiGilio Show, subscribe. It'll show up on your device automatically. You'll get it automatically, and you can listen at your leisure, bro. So there you go. All right, I have like some common questions that I always ask musicians when they come in, when I ask those. And by the way, what was Oscar Baker, who is on vocals and guitar, his brother Harvey, who's not here, is also in the band, and Tom Fry, who plays drums, is here as well. And helping them out this morning is Michael Green, who played guitar on the last song. We'll play guitar on the next song. Michael, welcome again. So I always ask this question to musicians. So we'll start off with the I asked you guys off the air if you saw Whiplash, and you did. And loved it. And so that's just a question that anybody, especially drummers, man. I always ask drummers if they see Whiplash. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about the first album you ever bought. Let's just go around the room. Let's start with Michael. Michael Green, what was the first album you ever bought? And I'm talking about like, you know, like maybe you had your allowance, you had some money, and it was the album that you went and you got.
I think I went to the Coconuts to buy it by myself because my mom didn't want me to get it.
Coconuts.
Was, Anima of the State by Blink-182.
Yeah, all right.
7 years old playing What's My Age Again on the guitar.
7 years old playing What's My Age Again.
Yeah.
It's not bad, man. That's good. That's good. Okay. Oscar, what about you, man? Now listen, you grew up, in the early part of your life, you were in London.
Yeah, the 90s were crazy in London.
I bet, man.
It was like Robbie Williams, Oasis, Dido. I mean, my dad tells me that I knew every Oasis song by the age of 3. I mean, it was flooded in the airwaves.
Yeah, I love that band. You know, people in America don't realize how unbelievably huge Robbie Williams is.
Oh, he's massive everywhere apart from America.
Apart from here.
Yeah.
You know, what's that DJ song that he had with the video where he's like tearing his skin off? Do you remember that video?
Rock DJ?
Yeah, Rock DJ. Remember the video? Yeah.
DJ.
In the video, like his skin comes off.
Oof, I didn't have know
you
that.
Seen? No, you got to see the
I
video, man.
It now. Like,
look it up.
I don't want to look up something where it's ripping their skin off.
Yeah, you know, it's cool.
Oh, okay, I'll watch it. My favorite one was Millennium.
Yeah,
because I remember being like 7, and he I think he sung that like by the London Eye, and it just being built.
Yeah,
he's like all in gold.
Yeah, he's huge over there, man.
Yeah, he's still really big.
Okay, so what was your first album? Do you remember your first album?
My first ever album that I personally bought, I think it was Wolf Mother.
Mm.
You know?
Yeah?
I think it was that. It was okay. Wolf Mother's first album. And they're a 3-piece.
Yeah, yes they are.
Or at least they were, because I'm not sure. I think it's just the lead singer who's left now.
Yeah.
But, Yeah, and I just really like. Oh no, what it was is that my friends were going to go see them at Tower Records.
So we've got a Coconuts mention and a Tower Records mention. All right.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace. Right.
Because they're all gone now. Every CD. And they skipped school to go see them play.
Yeah, that was me and.
Because they were playing at Tower Records, and they just, you know, they were really big in Australia, but they just come over, and I was really nervous and didn't go. And then
Was this the Tower Records on Clark?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then after school, I went and bought them. It was amazing. And I just went and bought the record.
Yeah. That's cool. All right, Tom, what about you?
I think it's between either Linkin Park or Ray Charles, which is kind of a weird thing. But which albums of each, I'm not sure. But
that is great.
It could have been at the same time. I don't know.
That's fantastic.
Just said Ray Charles.
Or maybe Led Zeppelin. I was really super obsessed with Led Zeppelin for a while.
Well, that's a good thing to be obsessed with, man. Especially as a drummer.
But I would say, between those two or three.
Okay. All right, first concert. Michael, what was your first concert?
I'm pretty sure it's the Rolling Stones at Soldier Field, in sixth grade. Yeah, it was quite a fun show.
Wow.
But I noticed when I was there, it smelled a little funny next
to me. Yeah,
I bet it did, man. I'm feeling a little funny as a sixth grader. Yeah.
Do you remember what tour it was? How old were you? You said you were in sixth grade?
Yeah, so that would be...
90?
No, I'm 24.
So you're 24. Okay. So it was... that wasn't Voodoo Lounge. It was the one after that. It was the tour after that.
Probably would have been 2004.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. So Stones, that's not bad. All right, Oscar, first concert.
Mine's Britney Spears.
Britney Spears?
Britney Spears. She didn't come on for like 2.5 hours, and I was probably about 10 at the time.
Okay. And Tom?
I remember nothing from it.
Mine was Buddy Guy.
Wow, man. Virginia. Wow.
That was a great show.
Buddy Guy at Ravinia, and then you went right to Linkin Park afterwards.
I would think I was listening to Linkin Park at the same time.
That's good, man. All right, cool. You guys wouldn't know, the first concert I ever went to was a band called Black Oak Arkansas, and they did a song called Jim Dandy to the Rescue, which you can hear in the movie Dazed and Confused. And my first album that I ever bought was Black Sabbath Paranoid.
That's a great album.
It's a phenomenal record, So
you've got a good one.
But I was lucky. I'm 50, and so I started going to concerts when I was 10. So I saw Zeppelin twice. Stones. I'm not a Grateful Dead guy, but I saw, like Jethro Tull a bunch of times in their heyday, and so I was lucky to see a lot of concerts when I was a kid. So, all right, well, that's great. Awesome. I always loved asking that question, and people are usually kind of embarrassed about like what they've seen or whatever.
How'd you feel about my answer then? Because mine was obviously the worst.
What, Britney Spears?
I mean, Britney is great. Yeah. You know,
it's great. I mean, it's great.
Yeah.
I mean, my first concert was Black Oak Arkansas. Those guys suck. All right, let's hear a song.
That sounded like a cool name though.
Black Oak Arkansas.
Yeah,
that's where they're from. So, all right, you guys, grab your guitar, go over to the kit. What are we gonna hear? What are we gonna hear now?
Well. We're going to hear, this song's called I'll See You Rising.
And this is new, right?
And yeah, this is completely new. This is actually the first time anyone's going to hear it. It has not been recorded yet, apart from in our studio and on demos that we've given to producers.
Okay, so very first time we're going to hear it.
This is the first time, yeah.
All right, here we go.
Acoustically.
You guys ready? All right, here's Fletcher, everybody.
Passenger seat of a fire truck. I'm closing my eyes cause I've seen too much. Hours of play to spend at night. Well, you're shooting out every light that seems too bright. Composed like a cover sheet. Just trying to breathe through the smoke and the heat. But I've been back out of fear too long. I got houses and houses glowing like the sun. And I see you hanging around. Playing pumped up versions of your favorite sounds. See
your cannibal, just another one who talks through stereo. Kush cut glass coated in steel that helps your teeth cut through your meal, but you're so seasoned with chili flakes. Wrestle your tongue until it aches, but I'm bruised and incomplete now, so you cough it up and spit it into the fire. And I see you hanging around playing pumped up versions of your favorite sound.
Really nice, man.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, really, really nice. Great stuff. Thank you so much, guys, for being here. I appreciate it. It was great meeting you guys. The band is called Fletcher, and the show is on Thursday, December 19th at the Beat Kitchen, the concert benefiting Sharing Notes.
At 8 p.m.
At 8 p.m. All the information is on our Facebook page at facebook.com/Nick D Show.